You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it impacts you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now: a shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/givetech. What we're learning is the most important antitrust case of the century enters its next phase. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. They were declared the winner of the search engine wars way back in 1998. Fortune magazine saying the company was poised for much bigger things. That company was actually Yahoo. And turns out that prediction didn't age all that well. Of course, Google is the real winner in the fight for search engine dominance. And how it got there is the subject of the U.S. Justice Department's antitrust case against it. Google has just started mounting its defense as a 10-week trial on the issue nears its end. Much of the case hinges on the idea of defaults. Marketplace's Matt Levin explained to me how they figure into the federal government's argument.
So DOJ is saying that Google is paying billions of dollars annually. The New York Times actually just reported $18 billion annually to Apple specifically.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of money even for Google. They're paying all of that to be the default search engine on iPhones and on other devices. And being the default search engine has allowed Google to basically eat an estimated 90% of the search market. And DOJ is saying that's an anti-competitive practice.
90%, that's huge. Google now getting its turn to mount its case. What's Google's response been to all of this?
So publicly, at least, Google has basically said, we're better. We're just better. We're better than Yahoo. We're better than DuckDuckGo. We're certainly better than Bing. And that's why we've achieved such dominance in the search engine space. The other part that Google has talked about is it's not that difficult to change your default settings, especially compared to maybe where we were in the internet like 20 years ago. So if you remember the Microsoft Internet Explorer antitrust trial, arguably the most important antitrust trial of the late 20th century.
By a hair.
By a hair. That trial hinged on Internet Explorer being the default web browser for Windows, right? And back then, if you wanted to change web browsers, it was kind of cumbersome, like truly. Like you sometimes had to install a CD-ROM. Remember those? So Google is saying, look, it's not that hard to do it if a consumer really wanted to do it.
Well, let's maybe deconstruct Google's argument here a little bit, because you spoke to some experts on this, and I guess most people aren't changing their default settings.
Yeah, that's right. And the reasons for that are interesting, right? So there's a whole literature of behavioral economics about the power of default. If your company auto enrolls you in a 401k, you are far more likely to save for retirement as opposed to if you have to sign up for it affirmatively, right? But talking with some experts in user interface design for technology companies, there's more at play with tech defaults. A lot of it is fear, right? We've all been in a situation where we have adjusted the settings on something technological and then our computer froze, or our phone wasn't working in the way that we once wanted it to. So there is more of an apprehension with tech defaults than other forms of defaults.
We'll be right back with more on the behavioral psychology of defaults, why old habits are so hard to break. You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it impacts you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now: a shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/givetech.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali, and we're back with Marketplace's Matt Levin. What are some of the things the experts you spoke to said to you about this in terms of the power of defaults?
So I spoke with Jared Spool, who has been an expert in user interface design for decades now. He's actually the guy, or at least was on the team, that in the early 80s came up with the insert, home, page up, delete, end, page down, the little like suite of keys on the keyboard above the arrows if you have like a big keyboard.
Yeah, the big six.
Yeah.
I just made that up. That is not a term of art by any means.
Do you use any of those? I do. Page up every now and then
all
still.
All the time. Big fan of insert, big fan of end.
That's music to Jared's ears, I think. He was saying that part of this is if the tech companies know that these defaults are lucrative and they kind of don't want you to change them, they're not going to make it super easy for you to figure out how to do so. He came up with this really interesting analogy. Changing the defaults on tech is kind of like when you go into a friend's house and they invite you to pour yourself a cup of water.
And you open up the cabinet that seems logical to you, but there aren't any glasses in that. So you have to open up the next one. You have to open up the next one.
That feels familiar to me, right? Going through the settings on your phone and being like, okay, 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 okay. And then finally being like, whatever, I give up. I don't have time for this. It's really interesting, too. It seems like the default status is more powerful in mobile as opposed to on your personal computer.
I got to ask, Matt, have you tried to fiddle with your default settings? Have you tried switching away from the Google search engine? Because I found it to be kind of hard, and I had the exact experience you just laid out. Too hard, not worth it.
I have. I think that maybe because I'm the only member of my generation that seems to care about privacy. I do have DuckDuckGo as the default search on my phone and on my computer. And it's not as good. It's not as good as Google.
It's not as good. That's what Google is saying. It's because all of us use it so much that it is this good. That's why, not because they're paying people, Apple and Mozilla and whoever else.
That's right. And the counter argument from the Microsofts and the DuckDuckGo's of the world is you are this good because you're the default. You have so much data to help refine your search engine. Because you're the default. That's why you're paying Apple $18 billion. That's what makes your search engine better. If we were the default, we would be just as good as you.
That was Marketplace's Matt Levin. Well, it took, count them, 29 days, but at trial late last week, we learned that in 2021, Google paid $26.3 billion to make sure its search engine was the default on web browsers and mobile phones. As Matt mentioned, the bulk of that went to Apple. Big tech critic Tim Wu, who spent 2 years strategizing on antitrust for the Biden administration, called the news a bombshell, asking, rhetorically on X, why Google would need to pay that much if its search engine is so great. The Verge is out with the back-of-the-napkin math, finding that $26 billion is about 16% of Google's search revenue and about 29% of its profit. We knew it was a lot, but the actual dollar figure came from the Justice Department's cross-examination of Google's head of search. Prabhakar Raghavan also testified late last week that the company is disparagingly called Grandpa Google, with leaders there worrying that their product could become irrelevant among young users. Grandpa Google knows the answers and will help you with homework, Raghavan is quoted as saying. But when it comes to doing interesting things, he says, they like to start elsewhere. Daniel Shin produced this episode. I'm Lily Dramali, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.